welcome back to Deep Dive with me, Stephen. Now, this is a special Deep Dive session where we chat with some of the candidates standing in the upcoming election. The details are out, and of course, election fever is in full swing, so we're quite excited about that. Today, I have with me Workers' Party candidate, Dr. Ong Liu Ping. He's 47, a father of three, and a senior principal clinical psychologist at the Institute of Mental Health. He was formerly the hospital's director of Allied Health. And he's been touted as one of the Workers' Party's star catchers. So welcome to our studio, Dr. Ong.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Okay, so we just want to really get to know you during the session. And it's a bit like a job interview, I guess.
Okay. Haven't gone for one for a long time.
But if I ask you to describe yourself in three words, what would they be?
I would say patriotic, caring, empathetic.
Okay, why those three words?
Okay, I think friends who know me will know that I love Singapore. So, I watch Singapore football. How much more do you want evidence to be, right?
Okay.
Empathetic, I suppose it's mainly because of my work as well. That's a trait that psychologists have to have. Caring is a trait since young. I think I have a lot of good role models. Especially my parents, they really care about people around them.
You were just telling me a bit earlier that this has been your first and only job.
Yes.
Over 20 years, you say?
22 years.
Yeah. Wow. So why have you stuck with this role? What is it about this job that has kept you there?
Okay, I think I really joined this job because I really want to make a difference for the children and teenagers that I see. We know that a lot of mental health issues actually start young. So if we can intervene early, we can actually help them have a better trajectory as they grow older.
Okay.
So that was my original intent. I was pretty lucky to get into this profession because at that time, to get into IMH, you actually need a master's.
Okay.
But I only had an honors degree in psychology. But I think what happened was the only male psychologist at the child guidance clinic, which I have been working at, has retired.
Right.
So they're looking for a male psychologist. So there I am. Okay. And I was actually quite fortunate because I applied and they didn't really sort of see my CV until one day one of my lecturers at NUS, he sort of happened to see the head of psychology department then at a conference, and he was sharing, "Oh, I have this student who's really interested in child psychology and so forth." And then they said, "Oh, actually, we got a position," and I applied for it and got it.
Okay. So in a way, the stars happened to just be aligned at that time.
Yes.
But you did go on to get your master's.
Okay.
And
yes. So what happens then was after a few years of working, they will actually sponsor you to go overseas to do your master's. So that's what I did. Went to Australia for 2 years.
So what made you decide to step up and join politics?
There wasn't a single trigger or factor per se, but it's more or less accumulative. So I've been working in mental health for such a long time, right? Always we try to teach the patients that we see how to cope better and so forth. But at the end of the day, we always feel very helpless when their mental health is actually affected by structural factors. For example, like academic stress.
Yep.
Some of them have this feeling that they don't see their future in Singapore because of the increasing cost of living and so forth. So at a certain stage, you think, okay, enough is enough. Right? There's only so much we can do in the clinic. Right, I think it's time to step out of the clinic and go into parliament, if possible, to really try to address all these structural issues that affects the mental health.
Okay, so you feel that you will be able to effect more change and help some of our young people better?
Yes, I'll be proposing. I mean, if there's a chance, we would like to propose several things that we think would help.
Yeah.
One of it, which I'm quite passionate about, and I've spoken about this a couple of times, is really having an optional 10-year through train program for our primary school kids. So they can go from primary school to secondary school without having to take PSLE. And then at the end of 10 years, take their O-level.
Why do you think that would be a better thing?
You're a parent, right? So you know PSLE is really, really stressful. Okay, not only for the students, but also for the parents.
Okay.
I mean, I hear of a lot of parents who take leave.
Yeah.
Just to help their child.
But
cope.
I would argue that that's self-induced.
Parents
don't have to, should not take leave, in my opinion, to stay home with their kids. They create more stress at home.
Yes and no, depending on your relationship with the child. Okay. Yeah. So if your relationship with a child is positive and supportive, the parent being there can serve as a support. But of course, if it's negative and you're just like nagging and giving more test papers and exam papers to do, then that's not too helpful.
So that will be one of the things you will be championing, I guess. And a lot of it will be about young people and helping our young people. Is that
mainly
an area that you want to focus on?
Yes, young people and, of course, those with special needs.
Okay.
I mean, this includes like autism. Children with low intellectual abilities and
right.
so forth.
Do you feel that there's a shortfall in what we're doing currently, that there are a lot of gaps in the system?
I think we are in the right direction. We do have the system in place. Quality-wise, I would say is good, but the quantity may still not be enough.
Okay.
As you know, for certain students to go to special school, there's a long waiting time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really the quantity. Quality, I think we have done pretty well over the past two decades. More the quantity. So more resources should actually be invested in our spec school education. One thing I feel very strongly about is the school fees, right? You know, mainstream primary school fees is pretty low, right? But for spec schools, their school fees are actually higher. Of course, they need more resources and so forth. But you need to understand that for these children with special needs, right, they have a lot of therapies to go to.
Right,
and it's a huge cost burden on the parents.
Okay.
So if the state can help as much as we can in terms of education, I think that would be really helpful.
Okay. Then some might ask you, I mean, in terms of choosing the political party to champion this cause, you know, why did you choose Workers' Party and not some other party which may have more resources to do this?
I wouldn't agree they have more resources to do this because ultimately the state has the resources to do all this.
Okay.
I joined the Workers' Party because I'm aligned to their conviction to have a more inclusive and compassionate society. A lot of the things that we propose in the manifestos actually points to that. I think Workers' Party is a party that puts the well-being of Singaporeans at the front and center of policy making. Right? We also have advocated, instead of just measuring economic KPIs, right?
Yep.
We should really be measuring social KPIs as well, because that's what really matters to the well-being of Singaporeans.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you measured your own social KPI in the sense that what kind of impact this will have on your personal and your family life as well?
You mean joining politics?
Yeah, joining politics. And what did your wife say when you told her?
Okay, my wife is a very private person. She's not very keen for me to join politics, especially opposition politics. Mainly because I think she's concerned about the public scrutiny on the family, especially the children. Yeah. Which I think are valid concerns. But I think eventually we agree to disagree. I mean, she knows I feel very passionately about the well-being of Singapore and Singaporeans. And that's something that I really wanted to do.
And you did say it was opposition politics that she was not keen for. So if you had been joining the PAP, would she have been?
I think it would be the same.
I think as long
as it's politics,
okay.
You will put yourself out in public scrutiny. And having said that, even joining PAP may also put you in a lot of scrutiny as well. So I wouldn't say it's just opposition politics.
But do you feel that there is a bit more of a challenge joining a different party besides the PAP?
Definitely it will be a different challenge, right? In terms of resourcing, WP or Workers' Party is really volunteer-driven. I mean, we don't have a lot of resources that the current ruling party has. So a lot of things you have to be hands-on and so forth. So that's the part that's different. But otherwise, it's really just different political philosophy as well. So I don't think that's right or wrong. It's really which one you are more aligned to. At the end of the day, I think to have a really balanced parliament, right, we really need to have diverse perspective and views in the process of policy making. okay. right? Because if we don't do that, right, we will likely have blind spots, right? So, I mean, in psychology, it's the same, mm. right? I teach my patients to have balanced thinking, right? You cannot just be leaning towards negative. Obviously, you also cannot just be leaning towards positive, because life is not that positive, right? But we need to have a balanced and realistic thinking. And okay. I think that's the same for Parliament as well. I think the challenge a lot of times, and it's not a personal thing or related to a person, but it's because of the system. So if you propose a policy, right, more often than not, you will highlight the benefits.
Yeah.
You will not really highlight the trade-offs.
Okay.
Right? But we know that in any policies, there will always be trade-offs. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't have diverse parties pointing out trade-offs, right?
Okay.
Then very likely that may lead to blind spot or what we call groupthink.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you feel that this is your sort of calling to help, I guess, provide more information, create greater awareness on issues that are debated?
Yeah, and provide different perspectives. Okay. So hopefully by providing different perspectives, all of us together in Parliament, regardless of parties, we can come together and create policies that are really beneficial to Singaporeans. And if there are trade-offs, and there will definitely be trade-offs, okay, we need to have an honest conversation on how do we mitigate or address these trade-offs, because we cannot be sacrificing people just for the sake of certain policies. Yeah.
Would you challenge policies just for the sake of highlighting the trade-offs, even if you know they are good policies?
Highlighting the trade-off doesn't mean that the policy is not good.
Yeah.
Right? Because all policies will have trade-off. Okay, even our
I mean, in a way, by highlighting the trade-offs, you are trying to, I guess, dissuade people from supporting that policy.
Perhaps. Not exactly. If the policy ultimately benefits Singaporeans, and there are trade-offs, and we would want to actually highlight that. We know that this policy does make sense.
Okay.
But the trade-off is this. Okay, can we address that as well? It doesn't have to be a dichotomy thing.
Okay.
We can do both. Okay, but the thing is, if you don't highlight this trade-off, it may not even be front and center in your decision-making. And then people get affected by this trade-off. And then that won't be to the benefit of Singaporeans at large.
Do you find yourself always bringing this psychologist hat to everything you do? You know, also, even to your family? do you psychoanalyze your children, you know?
I don't really, but I do know, as a child psychologist, the most important thing is to develop a good relationship with your children. Okay. So it's actually a very, very intentional decision. Since they were born, I've been very, very engaged and involved in parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the relationship has been built since they were babies, and yeah. So now that they are in their teenage years, it's really much easier to communicate with them.
Right.
You have the trust that they know what are the values and so forth. You are also secure that if they do get in trouble, they'll come and approach you and let you know. But that has to start. And I think being a child psychologist does help me realize that very early on. And that's why I advocate to all parents as well. I mean, start from day one, build that relationship.
Be around, be there for them. I think we all know that. You know, sometimes,
and not on your handphone.
Yeah, I mean, to be around for the children so that you know that they know that you're there to support them regardless of what may occur.
Yeah.
Did you speak to your children? You say they're teenagers. Did you tell them about this
yes.
and what you wanted to do, and what did they say?
Okay, they're actually very supportive and excited. I think main thing is because they knew that I spent a lot of time with them. And finally, I could do the things that I wanted to do. Because they are much older, I don't have to sit beside them, ask them to do their homework, right? They are now very much on their own.
Yeah.
So...
But do they understand that they will be under the limelight a bit more, that, you know, their friends will be saying, hey, you're dead, you know?
Fortunately, most of them, all of them are quite old by now. Actually, you'll be surprised. Not a lot of students are interested in politics. They may watch some TikTok videos
bad,
of
right?
you. So my son, my youngest one, has actually self-designated himself as my social media monitor. character agent.
Okay.
So he will like, I mean, he sees TikTok videos of me, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think the press conference, they do a screen grab and something. And then he will tell me, hey, do you know, these are all the comments that they give to
is
you.
Is he going to help you post stuff on social media as well? Take videos
my daughter
of you?
Will
your
be.
Daughter, ah,
that's the,
so that's your social media yeah. team.
At least what I realized is if you do make sense, actually people will create the social media post for you. Which I found out
through
my son. So you don't have to be the one creating your own TikTok videos and so forth. So if you make sense, people like what you say, they create for you and hopefully good things.
But that, of course, can go both ways because there are those who don't agree with you who will nitpick certain sound bites and make you sound...
Yeah. I mean, that's the 80-20 rule of life, right? Yeah. I mean, you cannot expect everyone to agree with you.
Mm.
So that's just reality. But it then goes back into being inclusive in terms of different ideas and so forth. If people have a different opinion, fair enough. If it's valid, you see whether you can improve. If it's not valid, it's probably more a reflection of them than on you because probably these people don't even know you. Right?
Yeah. And a lot of the people may not know you well because you are quite new to the scene. You know,
yes.
What should they know about you? If you could tell us something now that...
First thing first, of course, as I mentioned, I'm passionate about Singapore, right? So I'm doing this mainly because it's another way to serve the country.
Okay.
As you know, I had held leadership positions in IMAGE, and it was a very intentional decision to step down to engage in opposition politics.
Did you step down from that role so that you could...
Yeah.
Into politics?
Yeah.
I see.
Okay, I have to emphasize that it was my decision. It was not a decision made for me.
Okay.
Because I really want to avoid any potential or perceived conflict of interest. Because as senior management, you do get more information and privileged information. So I don't think that would be helpful for anyone, including the organization.
And how did your boss, what did he say?
Okay. My boss is actually very supportive. He was telling me, okay, don't worry, we take a risk. You continue in your position. But I said, no.
Okay.
I don't want to take a risk. I mean, I've already implicated my family, right, in my involvement. Yeah. I don't want to implicate the company I've worked for so many years.
But why do you say implicate?
Truth be told, in opposition, you'll be saying things that may not be too aligned to the current policies, right? As in a public sector, of course, you implement whatever policies that has been given to you, right? So there is a conflict of interest, right? I cannot be telling my guys, come on, let's do all this and in parliament, if I'm in parliament, I speak a different tune. So for my own assessment, I don't think that's right. So it was a very intentional decision to step down.
But you might find yourself in this spot.
Yep.
Then they make a policy or a sudden ruling change which you may not agree with.
Yeah.
What then?
Okay. Currently, I'm just a practitioner.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just a psychologist seeing patients, right? I don't think that would be a major conflict of interest, right? If, of course, there are policies that I think can be improved on, anyone should actually step up and say that, not just opposition party, but any civil servants, public servants, right? If your best interest is for Singapore, if you really think that, this policy can be improved on, you should speak up. I think that's what the government is trying to encourage as well.
So you're saying you because you will be just a practitioner caring for your patients, you don't have to worry about the policies, so to speak, or the hierarchy.
As director, there was 500 over allied health professionals and support staff. I'm overseeing, right? So as a leader, obviously they will look up to you and get sort of direction from you, right? So I really want to avoid all these things where the ground staff have to feel conflicted about things. So that's why I told my boss that, okay, I think this is really in the best interest of everyone, right? Yeah. So I'm very grateful that he agrees because it's not easy to replace a senior staff or senior leader, but we did that and we move on.
So maybe just some parting words for those who are listening in, watching this now. Anything you want to say to them?
Okay, so I think the main thing is if we really want to build an inclusive and compassionate society, right, we should really look out for each other, especially for those that may have disabilities or special needs, especially those with invisible disabilities. Right. I mean, we hear of news where, either young adults or children with autism, they had a meltdown in public places, and they get a lot of brickbats for it. Parents are told that, oh, you don't know how to parent your child and so forth. I really hope that there will be more understanding about these issues and people to be more empathetic. And understanding of challenges that we may not face, but it could be faced by other parents. So again, I want to say, because Workers' Party, our focus is really on being compassionate, inclusive, right. Which is why I have no regrets joining the Workers' Party.
But I just want to challenge you one more, because what you've just said are all the things I would expect any politician to say.
Yep. But not a psychologist politician.
Oh, is that different? I'm saying if you could speak frankly to people, you know, without using all the politically correct terms. Yeah, what would you say?
I would say exactly the same.
Really?
As
okay.
I would say.
Okay.
I say what I feel from my heart. But of course, as politicians, you also need to consider different positions and perspective because they are always competing interests and trade-off, right? As I mentioned. I just want to emphasize that a Workers' Party also recognizes that there are trade-offs, right? It's really what you want to focus more on. So as I mentioned, we are really advocating for social well-being. So in terms, I think in our manifesto, we actually propose for a developmental dashboard. Right. So instead of just measuring economic KPIs like GDP and so forth, we should also be measuring social KPIs. Right. So these are the level of mental and physical health in the population, level of social connectedness, participation and so forth. All these are actually important, and all these are the ones that actually makes life meaningful. I'm not saying money is not important, right? But we really need to look beyond just pure economic data. And this is something that we will really push hard for.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. All of you listening in, we hope you've enjoyed that discussion, that conversation that we've had. Stay tuned. We'll have more new faces coming on our chats here on Deep Dive. A shout out to my team, Tiffany Ang, Junaini Johari, Joanne Chan, Crispina Robert, Alison Jenner, Saya Wynn, and Ely Mansour. See you again.